Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 11, text number 23. Translation. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. After the end of Brahma's night, the creation of the three worlds begins again in the daytime of Brahma. And they continue to exist through the life durations of 14 consecutive Manus, or fathers of mankind. Purport. So one line purport. At the end of the life of each Manu, there are shorter dissolutions also. So translation responsibly. After the end of Brahma's night, the creation of the three worlds begins again in the daytime of Brahma. And they continue to exist through the life durations of 14 consecutive Manus, or fathers of mankind. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this chapter is entitled Calculation of Time from the Atom. So here conversation is taking place between Vidura and Maitreya, and they are talking about time, how time is calculated. And in the previous verses, we have heard different durations of time, how in different planets This time of the day, all my reminders come. How in the previous verses, it's mentioned that in the different planets, there's different duration of time, and how time is calculated. So we also heard the space which an atom takes, that's how time is measured. So time and space are of course material, and we also understand here that time is the potency of the Supreme Lord, potency of Krishna, by which He controls everyone. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, time I am the great destroyer of all living beings. So Vidura, he asked a question in text number 17, which Maitreya is now answering his question. He asked, Vidura wanted to know of the duration of life of those living entities who are beyond the range of a kalpa. So in this material world, there's different types of living entities. And according to a karma, we are placed in different situations, in different planets. And then because we are placed in certain planets, certain situations, then time acts in a certain way. But there are some living entities who live for more than a kalpa. So now a kalpa is basically a kalpa consists of I think if I'm not, what is it, 14 manmantras? So a Manu, the life cycle of a Manu, as is mentioned here, the 14 consecutive Manus are fathers of mankind. So that comprises one night of Brahma. So one day of Brahma comprises of the life of 14 Manus. And the life of one Manu is equal to, 71 Divya Yuga cycles. So one Divya Yuga cycle is the four ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapar, and Kali. So that makes one Divya Yuga. So 71 of that makes the life of one Manu. So 14 such manus makes the day of one Brahma, and such is also the duration of his night. Or it can also be taken as 1,000 yuga cycles. So 1,000 yuga cycles is equal to one day of Brahma, and that is also the duration of his night. So Brahma lives for, so Brahma's 12 hours is equal to his day, 1,000 yuga cycles, and then his 12 hours is his night. So in the 12 hours when he's awake, the creation takes place, as it's mentioned over here. At the end of Brahma's night, then the day comes. Then the creation of the three worlds begins. So this is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the 8th chapter. Krishna talks about the creation of this material world. There's a verse, he says, Sahasra yuga paryantam ahariyat brahmano vidu Ratrim yuga sahasrantam ahariyat vidu janaha. So by human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. So in this duration of, you know, one day of Brahma, so many living entities, they take birth. So they, in this 12 hours, is a very, very long time. It is so long, we cannot, it is unfathomable for us, for an ordinary living entity. So in this one day, so many creations, so many people come and go. And then when Brahma goes to bed, all the three worlds, they are wounded up. So there is a partial annihilation which takes place. It's not a full annihilation of the universe. That takes place when Brahma dies after 100 years. So Brahma lives for 100 years. Such days and nights makes one day, then, you know, 1 year, then 100 years. So you can imagine how many manus they come and go. So, like that, it's going on. So what was the point I was making? I forgot. Can anyone remind me? Time, yeah. What about time? I'll come back to me. Okay, so Brahma's day and nights are going like this, and within that, yes, our existence is taking place. So we can see how time is so relative. In the material world, time is relative. So what is time on one planet, you know, time scale on another planet is different. So yes, the point being made was, there are some living entities who live more than a kalpa. So Vishwanath Chakravarti, he mentions, like Bhrigu Muni and the other sages, they live more than a kalpa. And Vidura, he wanted to know about such great living entities. That's why in text number 17, he asked the question, I want to know of the lifespan of living entities who live more than a kalpa. So when the partial annihilation takes place, so then Lord Sankarshani emanates this fire, and that destroys many of the planetary systems. And then some of the sages, like Bhrigu and others, they go to higher planets, like Jana Loka, because they are being distressed by the heat. So Vidura, he wants to know about the lifespan of these living entities. And he says, I've understood the lifespan of demigods, human beings, etc. Now I want to know of higher beings. And then in reply to his question, Maitreya, he speaks about these verses. And that's where we are at the moment. So in the Bhagavad Gita, this section is there. Of the creation and annihilation, it's mentioned so that it gives rise to detachment. Because in the material world, we are very attached to living in this world. And we can see people, they're very, very attached, and they want to make this world a permanent place of living. They're living their life in such a way as if they're going to live forever. And we can see in the types of material arrangements people make. They build their palatial houses and they furnish it and decorate it very elaborately as if they're going to live there forever. And so many other arrangements are also made in terms of relationships or financial arrangements, etc., as if we're going to live forever. But the reality of life is that we are here for a short period of time. And even Brahma's lifespan is like a moment from Krishna's perspective. From his perspective, Brahma's lifespan is just one moment. It goes like this. But to us, Brahma's life is unimaginable. And even we take our own life to be so long. But as it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, by the passing of every day, even in this chapter it's mentioned, by the passing of every day, the sun is taking away the lives of all living entities. We are in fact approaching, we are becoming closer to death by the passing of every day. By the rising and the setting of the sun, our life is being diminished. So the Bhagavatam gives that perspective. People, they see the rising and the setting of the sun as a very pleasant event. People watch the sun rising and the sunset. Somebody was telling me in Australia, I think in near Mavulamba, there's a mountain over there. I forgot the name. But that's where, in Australia, that's the first place where the sunshine hits. Mount Warning, thank you. So Mount Warning. So people, they trek over to Mount Warning for, it takes 3 or 4 hours to see the sunrise. Of course, that's nice, but the Bhagavatam's perspective is that by the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, our life is being diminished. So it's a different way of looking at life. So the section in Bhagavad Gita is given in chapter 8 to give rise to detachment. That's the idea. So when we read how in Brahma's one day, so many Manus, they come and go. In that also, there's so many partial destruction. There's 1,000 yuga cycles in the day of Brahma. So then this should give rise to detachment, that this world is not our home, that our real home is in the spiritual world. That's the idea over there. And in fact, the purpose of time is only to use it in devotional service. That's the purpose of time. So we are given a human form of life. In Kali Yuga, in the human form of life, the maximum duration is 100 years. Of course, there are some rare exceptions when someone goes beyond 100 years, but that's not too long also. But that 100 years is time meant to become Krishna conscious. It's a very short span to become Krishna conscious. And we know this human form of life which we get is after an evolution of millions and millions of lifetimes, going through different species and coming to the human form of life. And then we have the opportunity to perform devotional service. But unfortunately, most people, they waste the time in the human form of the life in frivolous activities, in material frivolous activities. So in Kali Yuga, distraction is a big problem. Already we are wasting time, and on top of that, we are so distracted by so many technological advances. The technological advances, they make us very distracted. I was watching one video on Facebook. It was showing that how everyone is on their mobile phone. Even if they're having lunch or they're having an intimate time or they're catching up or whatever they're doing, they're just on their phone. So this is the distraction epidemic in Kali Yuga. So there are even talks on TED, on TED.com about the distraction epidemic. I was thinking this is a nice topic to talk about for preaching, a distraction epidemic, because it's very relevant. Everyone is so distracted. So in Kali Yuga, time is wasted a lot. But in human form of life, the time given to us is meant to become Krishna conscious. And because we have such a short span of life, half of our life is already, so much of our life is already wasted before we came to Krishna consciousness. So now that we have come to Krishna consciousness, we have to make the best possible use of time. Because time goes very fast. So many people, they say that. The realization of people who are older, one of their realizations is that life has gone so fast. It was as if it was just yesterday. Time has gone so fast. But when we are young, we think time, it won't go so fast. But the reality is time is imperceptible. And it does go fast. And our life goes. So we have a very short span of life. So this one lifetime, we have to use it to dedicate it to the devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of the spiritual master and masters. So this one lifetime is meant to give it to Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada, he said, so many lifetimes we have given to the illusory energy, this one lifetime we give it to the Supreme Lord. And that will be the perfection of our life, if we dedicate this one life to Krishna. So speaking of time, this month is today is the start of the Purushottam month. So the Purushottam month is a very, very special month. So in 1 year there are how many months? 12 months? So Purushottam is an extra month. It's not one of the 12 months. So Purushottam is like the 13th month. And it appears once in every 3 years. So there's a whole pastime behind the Purushottam month. Just like one of Krishna's name is Purushottama, which means the best of all incarnations. So similarly, Purushottam is the best of all months. So Purushottam is even, it is said, more potent than the Kartik month. So we know the Kartik month is very, very potent. It is even one of the items of devotional service. One of the 64 items is to perform devotional service in Kartik, in Vraj, in Vrindavan. You know, the benefit is 1,000 times. So it is said that the Purushottam mass is even more potent. And it is recommended that we perform devotional activities in Purushottam mass. Like it is said, the prime activities are to take a bath in the Ganges, to offer a lamp, to give charity, and to chant the holy names. So these are activities recommended in the Purushottam month. And there is even the Purushottam Vrata. So some people, they perform this Vrata in this month. So I would like to read you. I was thinking we'll have spend a short amount of time on this verse and speak more on the Purushottam month, because today is the beginning of this month. So it is a very auspicious month. So if we should understand the glories of this month. So as we know, as it's mentioned in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that at Naimisharanya, so many sages, they congregated. And they were performing this yajna. And at that time, Suta Goswami, he walked in. So when Suta Goswami walked in that assembly, all the sages headed by Shaunaka, they requested him to speak on the glories of the Lord. So we know this from the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. They requested him to speak on the glories of the Lord. And then Suta Goswami said, prior to coming to Naimisharanya, he was in Hastinapur. So we know in Hastinapur, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. So Suta Goswami, he was touring to thousands of pilgrimage sites, and then he ended up in Hastinapur. And in Hastinapur he heard Shukdev Goswami speak to Parikshit Maharaj, to Srimad Bhagavatam. And after that, he came to Naimisharanya. And in Naimisharanya, he was requested by the sages to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then he told the sages headed by Shaunaka Rishi, that long ago, Narada Muni, he went to Bhadrika Ashram, which is the residence of Lord Narayan Rishi. We know that Bhadrika Ashram. And there, the river Alakananda is flowing. And of course we know the Ganges, it emanates from the lotus feet of the Lord. So there he went and offered obeisances to Lord Narayan. And then he asked Lord Narayan, he asked them, how can living entities be delivered in this material world? He said, living entities who are engaged in sinful activities, how can they be delivered? And please also speak something for the benefit of the renounced order of life, like sages like him. So when Narayan Rishi, he heard the words, sweet words of Narada Muni, he replied. And he said, I will narrate to you this narration about the supremely pious pastime of the Supreme Lord, which will diminish all the sinful reactions. So then he said, I will tell you about the glories of the sacred Purushottam month. So Narayan Rishi, he told Narada Muni about the glories of Purushottam month. So then Narada Muni said, I've heard about the glories of all the months, including Kartik, but I've never heard about the glories of Purushottam month. So he said, which month is this? I've never heard of this month. Can you tell me more about it? So he was very eager to hear about the glories of Purushottam month. And he asked, how can I glorify this month? What should I do in this month? How should I take bath? How should I give charity? How should I chant, worship, etc., etc.? So then after hearing all these further questions, Narayan Rishi, he began to speak to Narada Muni. And then that goes into another conversation. So then he says, the glories of Purushottam month were explained by Krishna to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So that's how there's one conversation and another. So then Lord Krishna, he spoke to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he spoke this, the glories of Purushottam mass, when one time, when the Pandavas, when they were in exile, one time Lord Krishna came to visit them. And when he came to visit, as we know, the Pandavas, they went to exile because they had lost everything in the gambling match. And even Draupadi, she was insulted by Dushasan. And then she was saved by Krishna. So then they went to the forest, and then Krishna came there, and then he told them this pastime. He told them all the glories of Purushottam month. And then the Pandavas, they were living in the Kamyaka forest. That's where they were living. They were in exile. So it is said when Krishna, he saw the Pandavas living in exile, he became very sorry for the condition, and he became very angry at Duryodhan. And then the Pandavas, they headed by Arjuna, they offered prayers and they composed the Lord because he was so angry. So then the Lord starts speaking to them about the glories of Purushottam month. He said, once upon a time, by the arrangement of providence, an extra month came to this world. Everyone took this month to be most inauspicious and saw it as a stool-like month. So then out of nowhere this one month appeared. And then even the other months, they were blaspheming this month. But this is very difficult for non-devotees to understand. The months are the months are people. They're personified. So they were, even the other months, they were criticizing that this month, who's this month? This month did not have any name. It did not have any purpose. So then everyone was deriding it, including the human beings. And this month was seen as untouchable. And it was constantly unprotected and blasphemed and rejected by everyone as an improper time for any religious and auspicious activities. So it was the total opposite to what it is now. So when this month she heard all these blasphemies, she became very depressed and she started crying. Because this blasphemy was going on continuously, not only once. So when she was rejected by all the other months and everyone else, she became very sad. And then she came to Vaikuntha. So this month she came to Vaikuntha and then she approached Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu was on his simhasana. And she fell down at his lotus feet and she began to cry. And she said, "Oh, ocean of mercy, I have come to you helpless. I have been rejected and blasphemed by all the people of this world. Please protect me and please show me your mercy. Please don't be indifferent towards me." And then she sat before the Lord in a dejected mood. And then the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he started to console this month. But still it was not possible to console her. She was still very miserable. And then, you know, she said, "All the other months, nights and directions are protected by you, but I'm not protected by you. And in fact, I'm blasphemed by everyone." And she said, "No one is giving me shelter and I want to die immediately." So she said like this, "I want to die immediately." And then Lord Vishnu decided, "Okay, let's go to Golok Vrindavan, to Krishna." So then Vishnu, he took this month to Golok Vrindavan, to Krishna. And then they went there. So I'll just read when they went there. So he said, "The Supreme Lord Shri Krishna of Golok will deliver you from all your miseries. Please come with me." Speaking in this way, Lord Vishnu took Mala Mas, the extra month, to Golok by catching her by the hand. From a distant place, Lord Vishnu and the extra month observed the effulgence of Golok. This dazzling effulgence automatically forced Mala Mas to close her eyes. Therefore, keeping the extra month behind him, Lord Vishnu proceeded further until he reached the main gate. There the doorkeeper paid his respects to him. Having reached the supreme abode, Lord Vishnu met Lord Shri Krishna, who was surrounded by many devoted gopis. Lord Vishnu, who is the husband of Ramadevi, paid his obeisances to Lord Shri Krishna. Then he made the extra month also offer her obeisances at the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, even though she was crying loudly. So she was still crying. Immediately, Shri Krishna asked, "Why is she crying? She is in Golok Vrindavan, why is she crying?" So in Golok Vrindavan, nobody is sad. Everyone is happy. So Krishna was wondering, why is this Mataji crying? Hearing these words from Lord Shri Krishna, Lord Vishnu got up from his seat and started explaining the whole miserable condition of the extra month. He begged him to please protect this unprotected month. "There is no one except you, Lord Krishna, who can save this extra month from a hellish condition and give her full protection." Having said these words, Lord Vishnu remained standing in front of Lord Krishna with folded hands. Then further on, then Lord Purushottama, Shri Krishna, said, "O Vishnu, you have done a very great deed by bringing this extra month to me. You will become even more famous for performing this act. Because you have accepted this Mala Mas, I will also accept her. I shall make this poor extra month just like me in quality, fame, opulence, realization, success, and in giving benediction to devotees. This month will become equally potent to me. I am bestowing all of my divine qualities in this abused month." named after me, this month will be famous as Purushottama month in this world. So this is how this month was accepted by the Supreme Lord. And he bestowed all of his qualities in this month. And gave her the same name as well. Then further on said, O Janardhan, now that she has imbued my qualities, I myself will become the husband and protector of this Purushottam month. And being equal to me, this month will be the master of all other months. Now this month will become worshipable by one and all. Everyone should pay their obeisances to her. Everyone should worship her. This month is equally as powerful to me to give any type of benediction to its observer. I'm making this month desire-free, unlike other months, which are full of some desire or other. The worshipper of this month will be able to burn all his past sinful reactions to ashes, and after enjoying a blissful life in the material realm, he will return back to Godhead. So, by non-devotees, non-devotees don't view this month as very favorable. I think they've even given some term. So, but for devotees, this is a very valuable month, and this is a window, you know, to make some rapid advancement. Because it is said here that in this month, only spiritual desires are fulfilled, no material desires are fulfilled. So for non-devotees, they see this month as very inauspicious. Because their material desires cannot be fulfilled. But devotees see it as extremely auspicious, because our devotional activities are multiplied. You know. So then further it is said, O Garud Vaj, Lord Shri Krishna continued, my Golok is unattainable to the performers of austerities, Mahatmas engaged in pious activities, to people who maintain celibacy, or to those who fast their whole life's duration. But just by observing Purushottam month and becoming a devotee, one can easily cross over this material ocean and return back to Godhead. Observance of this Purushottam month is the best of all austerities. Just as a farmer produces rich harvest by planting seeds in nicely cultivated land, so an intelligent man who practices devotional service towards the Supreme Lord in this Purushottam month will enjoy a blissful life while in this world, and after leaving his body, he will return back to Godhead. An unfortunate, ignorant man who does not perform any japa, does not give any charity, does not pay respect to Lord Shri Krishna and his devotees, does not behave properly to the brahmanas, makes enmity with others, and who blasphemes the Purushottama month will go to hell for an unlimited period. So, especially offenses in this month, they have, like anything devotional we do in this world is multiplied, you know, many times. So offenses are also multiplied many times. So Lord Shri Krishna continued, how can a person make his life successful unless he performs devotional service in this Purushottama month? A person who is fully engaged in sense gratification and does not give any special importance to this sacred month becomes the best candidate for hell. All human beings should perform some devotional service in this Purushottama month by number 1, taking a bath in a holy river. 2, worshipping me, Shri Krishna, by chanting my holy name. 3, giving in charity. So these are the main activities to be performed in this month. So then Lord Krishna, he further on, he glorifies this month. And then after narrating the brief history of this month, so then the Krishna, he very mercifully glanced upon Yudhishthir and Draupadi, and then he spoke to Arjuna. Then he said, now do you Pandavas understand why you are suffering? He said, you are suffering because you did not acknowledge or honor the presence of this month. So the Pandavas did not acknowledge the presence of this month, so that's why they were suffering in exile and etc., etc. He says, that month which is most dear to Vrindavan Chandra has passed, but you Pandavas were in the forest and did not worship Purushottama month. So now you are suffering, you have been following the ritualistic principles given to you by Vyasadeva. But unless you worship Purushottama month, you cannot perform pure devotional service to me. Then Shri Krishna continued. So he now narrates a historical event concerning the previous birth of Draupadi and how that is also connected to the Purushottama month. So he said, in her previous life, Draupadi was the daughter of a great Brahmana sage called, and her name was Medhavi. So she was the daughter of a great Brahmana sage. Her name was Medhavi. So her mother, she died when she was a small child, and then she was under the care of her father. So as she grew, she became extremely beautiful. But her father, because he was a Brahmana, he was absorbed in spiritual activities, he was not interested in getting her married. He was too absorbed in his devotional activities. So when she saw her other girlfriends, her other friends got married, and they not only got them married, but they even had children. But here she is, and she's not even married. So then she became very miserable. And then, as time passed on, her father passed away. And then when her father passed away, she became even more miserable, because then she had no hope of getting married. Because in the Vedic times, unlike today, in the Vedic times, the parents would arrange the wedding. And the father would arrange a suitable match, or the parents would arrange a suitable match. So, it's not like today you can find someone, you know, yourself. But back in that day, you couldn't do that. And that's the way society was. So then she thought, now I have no hope at all. So his father, he passed away chanting Krishna's names. But he didn't arrange for his daughter's wedding. So this made his daughter even more miserable. Fortunately, the great sage Durvasa Muni appeared in her ashram shortly after her father's death. Seeing the great sage, the girl paid her obeisances to him and respectfully worshipped him. She offered flowers and fruits to the great sage. So as we know, Durvasa Muni is pleased easily and is angered easily. So by this activity of her, he became very pleased. And then he said, I'll offer you a benediction. Please accept a benediction. So then the girl Medhavi, she said, O great saint Durvasa, you know everything, past, present and future. I have no shelter in this world. I have lost all of my relatives, my parents have passed away, and I have no elder brother as well. I am also unmarried, and therefore there is no husband to protect me. O great sage, please do something, please help me. Please give me some advice to relieve me from this miserable condition. So after listening to her prayer, then Durvasa Muni, he began to consider her unfortunate condition, and so he decided to show mercy to her. So then Durvasa Muni, he began to speak. He said, O beautiful one, 3 months from now, the most auspicious Purushottam month will begin. This sacred month is most dear to Lord Shri Krishna. Just by taking a holy bath in this month, a man or woman can become completely sinless. This Purushottam month is glorious than all other months, including Kartik. The glories of all other months is not even equal to 1/16 of the glories of the Purushottam month. So the glories of all other months combined is not equal to 1/16 the glories of Purushottam month. The merit of a person who takes a holy bath even once in this month is equal to the merit of taking bath in the Ganges for 12,000 years. Or the merit achieved by a person who takes bath in holy waters of Ganges or Godavari when Brihaspati Jupiter enters to Leo, lion. If he will take a holy bath, give in charity, and chant the holy name of Krishna during this month, all your miseries will go away and you will attain all kinds of perfection and all your desires will be fulfilled. So he says, please follow my advice and do not forget to worship Purushottam. So then after Durvasa Muni spoke these words, he became silent. He remained silent. But Medhavi, she did not believe Durvasa Muni's words. She thought, how is this possible? You know, 1 month can be this much more potent than all other months combined. So she didn't believe him. And then she rather became angry. She became angry and she started blaspheming this month. So she said, oh great sage, you're lying. How could this excellent... she told Durvasa Muni, you're lying. How could this extra month, which is also called Mala Masa, means stool month, be superior to other great months like Magha, Kartik and Vaisakha? I cannot believe your months. So she offended Purushottam month by saying this is the stool month. So I cannot believe your words, you're trying to cheat me. This extra month is known to be most abominable for any kind of pious activity. So when Durvasa Muni heard these words, he became very angry. So naturally a devotee becomes angry when the Lord is blasphemed. And Durvasa Muni, he gets even extra angry because he's easily angered as well. So he became very angry. And his whole body started burning. And his eyes became red. But he remembered the helpless condition of Medhavi. So he consciously controlled himself. So then Durvasa Muni, he told the girl, oh unfortunate one, I'm not going to curse you. I'm not going to curse you because your father was a good friend of mine. So he had some, you know, the connections there. So he was obliged somehow to his father and he didn't curse him. So your father, because your father was a good friend of mine, you're in such a helpless condition. Being an ignorant child, you cannot understand the Shastric conclusion. I'm not going to take your offenses towards me seriously, but at the same time I cannot and should not tolerate your offenses towards the Purushottam month. In your next life, you will certainly reap the results of your offensive words. The great sage Durvasa then hurriedly left that place to perform his service for Lord Narayan. Then Lord Krishna, he told Arjuna that when Durvasa, he left that place, that Brahmin girl Medhavi, she lost all her opulences in a moment. And then being an offender to this month, she began to look very ugly straight away in a moment's time. And she lost all of her bodily effulgence. So to counteract that, she decided to worship Lord Shiva, who is also known as Ashutosh, one who is easily pleased. So then she performed her austerities for 9,000 years for Lord Shiva, Medhavi. So it is said in the summer season, she would sit under the sun and, you know, have fire around her, and she was performing tapasya. And then in winter time, she would be in extreme cold and sit in ice cold water and perform austerities like that in human conditions. For those of us who think in human conditions, this is another level. So when she did this for a long period of time, for 9,000 years, all the demigods became fearful, and Lord Shankar, he appeared before Medhavi because he was very pleased by her worship and austerities. So Lord Shankar, he appeared in his spiritual form, and then she stood up and she immediately became rejuvenated. So in the presence of Lord Shankar, Lord Shiva, all her weakness, her distress disappeared, and then again she looked beautiful. So she started to recite wonderful prayers and she started to worship Lord Shiva. So then Lord Shiva, he was very pleased with her. And then he said, now ask some benediction from me. I'll give you some boon. And I'm so pleased with you, I'll grant you whatever you want. And then when she heard these words from the mouth of Lord Shiva, she said, the girl said, oh friend of the poor, if you are pleased with me, then please give me a husband. Repeatedly speaking the same words, "Give me a husband," 5 times, the girl then fell silent. So then she asked for a husband 5 times because she was so eager to have a husband. Then Lord Shiva said, "Let it be." What's the Sanskrit for that? Tathastu. Remember when you used to watch Mahabharata in India? Many times they would say, "Tathastu." Let it be. So then Lord Shiva said, "Lord, let it be. You have asked a husband 5 times, so you will get 5 husbands. You have asked for a husband 5 times, and so you will get 5 husbands. Hearing Lord Shiva's words, the girl became very ashamed. She said, "Oh Lord, it is most abominable for a girl to have 5 husbands. Please retract your words." So then Lord Shiva spoke to her very gravely and he said, "You will get 5 husbands in your next life. So previously you offended Purushottama month by not following the advice of the great sage Durvasa." I'm sorry. I just got mixed up here. So Lord Shiva spoke to her very gravely. "This is impossible for me. What you have asked from me will be granted. You will get 5 husbands in your next life. Previously you offended Purushottama month by not following the advice of the sage Durvasa. O Brahmana girl, there is no difference between the body of Durvasa and mine. All we demigods, including Lord Brahma and all the great saints like Narada, worship this Purushottama month in accord with the order of Shri Krishna. A devotee of Purushottam month achieves all good fortune in this lifetime, and at the end of his life he goes back to Golok Dham, the abode of Krishna. Being an offender to this sacred Purushottam month, you will get 5 husbands in your next life." Then Madhavi, she became very remorseful, but Lord Shankar, he immediately disappeared from that place. After Lord Shiva's departure, the young Brahmani became very morose and fearful about her future life. In this way, after a few days, she left her body by the arrangement of Providence. So then we know how Draupadi, she took birth. She took birth from the sacrificial fire, which King Drupad, he was performing an elaborate sacrifice, and then from that sacrifice, Draupadi came. So she appeared as the daughter of Maharaj Drupada. So, O Arjuna, as Krishna continues, the same daughter of Madhavi Rishi has now become famous in the world as Draupadi. She is none other than your present wife. Because she blasphemed Purushottama month in a previous life, she was insulted by Dushasan in front of the whole Kuru assembly, in the presence of all her Pandava husbands. Fortunately, she remembered me and took my shelter. Forgiving her offenses, I protected her from that most abominable condition and saved her from the hand of Dushasan. O dear Pandava brothers, please don't forget to worship the forthcoming Purushottama month. A person who blasphemes Purushottama month and doesn't worship her and who doesn't worship me will never attain good fortune. This Purushottama month is fully potent to fulfill all your desires and remove all miseries. Now your 14 years of forest life is coming to an end. Please worship this Purushottama month sincerely, for it will bestow all good fortune upon you. So when, after this, then Krishna, he departed for Dwarka. He left that place. So these are some of the, there's more glories as well, but this is one pastime of, in relationship to Purushottama month, how, which this pasha, this pastime, it highlights the glories of Purushottama month, the glories of worshipping this month, and the benefits we get, and also the dangers of committing offenses in this month, especially to devotees and to this month as well. So it's a very important month. In this, as one of the items was to chant the holy name. So in this month, a lot of devotees, they chant more rounds. So either 24 rounds, 32 rounds, or, you know, devotees take different vows and they chant more rounds, just like in Kartik. So this month, it comes once in 3 years. So it's a special time. So we'll leave it here and see if there's any quick question or comment before we end.
Yes, Prabhu.
This is an article by Shivaram Swami. It's on his website. He actually, it's called The Glories of Purushottam Mass, shivaramswami.com. And he even mentions another pastime. But I'm not reading that. It's quite long. Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Purushottam Mass ki. Book mein to time ka hai. That's okay.